I want to thank you for several of you wished me a happy birthday on Friday, and I appreciate that. My birthday was Friday. I turned 50 years old. In the Lord. All right. Yeah. 50 years ago, and it was on a Friday when I got saved, March the 28th, 1975, Friday afternoon. I remember it because we always took a bath on Fridays, whether we needed one or not. Amen. And I remember it that night. Amen. I got a physical washing, but I got a spiritual washing that day. Amen. And I just thank the Lord for it. We had the funeral service, celebration of life service for a lady that got saved. Some of our men, we had a food call, and this family had asked us for food. We got there, and the lady was dying with cancer. And Brother Mike and Brother Rob Ward went to the house, took the food for them. And both she and her husband trusted Christ as her Savior. She sat up in the bed and told him, said, "You know, I know I'm dying, but I've been thinking about where I'm going to spend eternity." And they were able to take the message of the gospel and lead her to Christ. That was in November of last year. She passed away in January, and they just had the celebration of life service this Friday. And we did not know Thursday night. We had a food call down at the Days Inn. Some of her family was there at the Days Inn, and they'd called and asked for a food call. And so our folks took the food call by there. Brother Mike, y'all took that food call, right? Again, they went down, and come to find out, that was part of the family that was here for the service. And one of the boys got saved. He got saved Thursday night, and his brother came to the service Friday. And when I gave the invitation, he got saved. And there were four that trusted Christ as their Savior here in the service on Friday. So God is faithful, amen. And the Word of God does not return void, amen. It does not return void. I remember that Wendy was talking about that last Sunday morning in her testimony. God's Word does not return void, amen. Thank God for the Word of God. Amen. Well, we want to look at this second part of this lesson number 9. Lesson number 9, it was entitled, The Wisdom of Hard Work. And I appreciate Miss Sarah stepping up today and interpreting for Brother Tom. Man, she came in here, and you're not doing it in Russian now, right? All right. Okay. All right. I don't want her to do that in Russian. All right. She needs to do it in English. Okay. All right. Yeah. She needs it in English for you, right? Yeah. All right. Good. Amen. I appreciate that today. But what we want to look at this verse, our theme verse was found in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 9. And it said there, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. And last Sunday, we looked at the initiation of work as observed in the Word of God. We saw how that God was the one that initiated work. When he created man and put him in the Garden of Eden, God gave that man a job to do. And it was to take care of what God had provided for him. And folks, that's what we're to do today. We saw God's example. We saw God's exhortation of work last week. And then we looked at point number 2, the integrity of work. The integrity of work. Solomon here made several observations, and he wrote in this book of Proverbs about how that God had spoken to Adam and how that God blessed arduous labor, and he blessed that. And then we saw his commendation of the diligent, okay, how that God inspired Solomon to write these words, and he said in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27, a slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. And man, we talked about that, the commendation of the diligent for working and doing what they ought to do to take care of themselves and take care of their families. Then we saw in that how that, you know, many folks today seek their goal is being successful without being willing to work. They want the success, but without willingness to work. And folks, the only time that you're going to find, I told you this last week, the only time you're going to find success before work is in the dictionary. That's the only place you're going to find it. Work brings forth success. And God blesses that. He blesses that. But today we want to look at point number B under that second part. And we want to see the condemnation of the lazy. The condemnation of the lazy. Now, last week we looked at the commendation of the diligent. And we saw here how that in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24, Solomon wrote, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." He commended the work of the diligent. But now he condemns that laziness that many folks adhere to today. And you know, it's amazing. Man has not changed from the days of Solomon all the way to today. Man's nature does not change. You know why? Because sin doesn't change like that. The devil is still trying to convince folks that, man, we don't deserve anything bad in our lives. And you know what? The consequences of sin, the wages of sin, is death. It's separation from God. And God is the one that sent the Savior. It's no work that we can do to bring salvation. It's only by the grace of God that we have salvation today. And here, no matter how hard they may try, de-emphasizing hard work never brings or enhances a sense of self-esteem. You don't feel good about sitting at home being lazy. Now, there are days everybody likes to just kick their feet back and just relax a little bit, all right? I like to do that. And the problem is, if I sit down and I want to watch something on TV, I raise up the old recliner seat and I get my leg up. My little dog, Precious, is sitting there. And she sees me do that. She grabs a ball or her blanket, jumps up in my lap with that blanket or that ball, and just cuddles up real good. And I go to sit down and watch that program I want to see. And man, I'm out. It was like the other day. I woke up about 4:30 in the morning. And, you know, the TV, I guess it cut itself off, or my wife cut it off or something. The light was on, and I was sitting in there just sound asleep in that recliner. And got up, went, put my pajamas on, went on the bed, got up an hour later. Oh, man, why am I so tired? You know, why am I so tired? Good night. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, okay? All right? It'd been a long day. It'd been a long week all day. It'd been a long week all day. But you know what? The sluggard thinks he's so much wiser than everybody else, doesn't he? And I want you to look at this verse in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 16. Solomon wrote something here. It amazes me. Solomon said, "The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason." Boy, he is wise in his own eyes. But you know what? Empty conceit is not the same as self-esteem. It's not the same. It's not the same. Someone who is able to work, but who refuses to work, may brag about having 37 different free cell phones that the government's paid for them, okay? And they say, well, if the bill collectors call me on this one, I'll just use the other one or whatever. And I've seen that. I've seen that. And they may brag about, you know, they've got everybody else taking care of them. But folks, that's not what God's plan was. God's plan is for us to work diligently, to provide for ourselves and for our families. The lazy braggart who constantly demands that others give them something for free has an overrated and self-inflated, conceited opinion of themselves. Amen. That's just plain. I'm just trying to put it plain, okay? I put the cookies down there where everybody can get them, okay? All right? But I want you to understand today, laziness is not something that God condones. He doesn't condone that in our lives. And this verse here, it stated, folks have the audacity sometimes to justify their actions and to try to make it seem like they're bragging about being wiser than anybody else. And when they can, you know, go out here and do things that are not job worthy or anything else, and then expect everybody else to take care of that. You can't do that, folks. We can't do that. We have a responsibility. I believe in the New Testament, the Bible said there that if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. And maybe that's the problem today. We're so busy feeding everybody that doesn't want to work. They're not hungry enough yet to go to work. And buddy, if I get hungry, I want to go to work. I want to get some things done. I want to be able to get my little, I got my little snack here in my pocket. I got them right there. I got my little Red Hots. Okay. I splurged and bought 5 pounds of these things the other day on Amazon. They said they'd be delivered the next day, and I sat there in my office hungering for these little cinnamon things all day. And then about 3:30, 4 o'clock, I got a note that said, "We're sorry, but your order has been delayed. It'll be April 2nd when they come in." I thought I was going to die. And I began to pray. I said, "Lord, please. I worked hard to get that money to get those 5 pounds of cinnamon imperials in here. Please get them in." And they came in Thursday night while I was out visiting, or Friday night. I had a place I was visiting Friday night. And I got in late. My wife said, "There's a package for you over there." And it was a 5 pound box of cinnamon things. And I sat down and ate me a bunch of them. I gave some to Precious. She spit them out. And I thought, praise God, there's more for me. Amen. There's more for me. More for me. But you know what? Listen, we ought to want to provide for our families. Amen. It makes us feel proud that we can provide for our families. And we want to be able to do that. And, you know, Solomon said here that the sluggard thinks himself to be wiser in his own conceit than 7 men that can render a reason, okay, for being willing to work hard for what they have. And you know what? The sluggard is not condoned, it's condemned in the Word of God. He desires the fruits of success without putting forth any effort of working to achieve the true rewards of success. I want you to look here at Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 4. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 4, it explains it all. And here Solomon wrote these words. He said, "The soul of the sluggard desireth." In other words, he's wanting something all the time. He's wanting what everybody else has got all the time. "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." Amen. So if you see me gaining a little weight instead of losing all this weight, if you see me gaining, just know I'm working hard. Amen. I'm working hard. No, I'm just kidding you about that. But listen, this is what God's Word says. No matter, you know, no matter what they do, you cannot expect God to bless laziness, sluggardness, if that's a word, okay, being a sluggard. God is not going to bless that. He wants us to be busy about our Father's business. And we need to be busy telling folks about Christ, letting folks know. Look at Proverbs chapter 21, verse 25. Look at this verse. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 25. "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor." Now let me read that one to you again. "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuseth to labor." Selfish wants and desires of people too lazy to work are killing our country today. And this verse proves that fact. You can't give away everything to everybody that refuses to do anything. You just can't do that. You can't do that. Listen, God wants us to have a wisdom about us today. And the wisdom of hard work is a good thing. It's a good thing to have. The Bible goes on to say in Proverbs chapter 24, look at this. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34. Look what he said. He said, "I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, and so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Solomon observed here that a failure to rise up and work hard results in a lack of true satisfaction and fulfillment in one's life. Man, if we just get too lazy, if we think that, man, well, that's the preacher's job to go out and tell folks about Christ. Well, you know, somebody will take care of me. Somebody will feed me. Or they may not feed you anymore. And you know what? Listen, folks, we need to be busy taking care of ourselves and our families. And listen, I understand when you can't do anything. Last year, man, I was frustrated because I could not get out and do what I wanted to do in the yard. And this year, man, I've been out there and cutting stuff down and trying to fix up stuff where I was out for, you know, for the hip surgery and things like that. And some of you folks came out and helped me with stuff. And man, I'm thankful for that today. I'm thankful. But I'm talking about folks that are just not willing to do anything. They're just not willing to work and to take care of their own selves or take care of their family. And they're expecting everybody else to do it. God does not bless that. And we see that here in the Word of God. To the sluggard who refuses to work, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26, listen to what he said, Proverbs 10, 26, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. And then Proverbs chapter 25, verse 19. I was looking up verses on this, and I was thinking, man, alive, the Bible talks so much about this. But this verse, Proverbs chapter 25, verse 19, sums up the lazy man by saying, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Boy, it's not a very good testimony, is it? It's not a very good testimony at all. And folks, we need to understand today, these verses bear witness that the sluggard's reward is only enslavement and bondage to the will of others. That's what it is. It's just slavery. Look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24 again. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. And go over to Proverbs chapter 15 and look at verse 19 on that one. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 19. The way of the slothful man is an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. Boy, isn't that great? Man, that lets us know exactly where we need to be. Listen, this is where a growing majority of American people are today. They're in slavery. Man, their dependence is upon the government. The government. Listen, when the boys came over from China, they would tell us, listen, why do we need to do this or that or whatever? The government's going to take care of us. We know what? With 1.8 billion people over there, we see how they work. They say, well, oh yeah, they give them jobs. They build apartment buildings over there, right beside the battery factories and things like that. They're producing all these batteries. And I've got a friend that worked in the battery industry, and he went over to tour that plant, and they refused to buy batteries from them because of the non-safety issues there. And they said, well, why do we need to exhaust money on that when we've got a population that needs work? If they die, we'll just bring more in. And they built apartment buildings, folks. They built apartment buildings. They worked 16 hours a day. 16 hours a day. That gave them 8 hours to sleep or to eat or whatever, and then just worked them over and over again. If people died, they brought more people in because they were wanting to get a job. And they pay them just pennies on the dollar for anything. They're enslaved. And folks, that's the way it is. It's become in our country too. Man, folks are told where they can live. They're told, well, we'll give you money for food, and then that way you can eat this or eat that or whatever. They're just serving a new taskmaster today because they refuse to work. And folks, listen to me. Today, God wants us. He wants us to understand the wisdom of hard work, the wisdom of providing for your families, the wisdom of helping others that need the help. Listen, God wants us to live with a good testimony toward Him. And it's not a good testimony for God to just be a slothful sluggard and not be willing to do anything to provide for your own. And now I want you to look at point number three today, the incentives for hard work. At this point in the lesson, it would seem that self-esteem and success are the only incentives, okay, for hard work. But that is not the case according to the Word of God. And I want you to see the incentives of hard work. Number one, it's a matter of stewardship toward the Lord. It's a matter of stewardship. Moses had commanded the children of Israel over in Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want you to look at this. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and look at verse number 1. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 1. He said, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye may do them in the land whither ye go to possess it." And we see also in the New Testament how that in all that we do, we're to work as if we were working for the Lord. When we do whatever we do, we need to do it as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. When I'm mowing my yard, okay, I want it mowed a certain way, okay? I like all my lines straight. And when I come up to the tree, okay, and I instead of going around the tree and getting a circle around it, I'll back that mower up and get to where I can get that straight line and go down the other side, then come up and go to the other side of the tree and I got a straight line, okay? Now, I like to do that. Now, my wife, man, she's out there. She can drive that thing around. It looks like a termite in a yo-yo or something. I mean, it's just crazy. And I told Danny, I said, when Danny was learning to use a riding lawnmower, that was part of his driver's education, I told him. This part of your driver, before you get in my van and try to learn how to drive a vehicle, we're going to get you out here in the yard and let you mow that. And if you hit the bushes or roll over the flowers and things like that, you're not getting in my car. You're not getting in my car. So, but we told him to do this. We want it done a certain way. And I told him, I said, do it as if you're doing it unto the Lord. And when I mow my yard, I want to get done. And then I'll take my wife out walking. I say, man, I don't know who mowed that yard, but it sure does look good, doesn't it? And she'll say, yeah, it sure does. I said, thank you, Lord, for a yard to mow. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for bushes to trim. Thank you, Lord, for flowers out there I didn't roll over this time. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. We need to do it as unto the Lord. Look over in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 just a minute. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul talked about this to the church of Ephesus. And this is what he said. He said, servants, beginning in verse number 5, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Notice that. As unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Did you notice how many times he said, as we're working, we're to do it as unto the Lord? As God cared for us, we're to care about the things that God has given unto us. We're to do it as unto the Lord. Turn over in the New Testament to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And I want you to look there at verse number 23. Look what he said in verses 23 and 24. He said, and whatsoever you do. Now, I want to stop right there just a minute, because a lot of people think, well, I don't do anything that great. Listen, I don't care if you mow the yard, if you teach a class, if you're a professor at a college, if you work on trucks or cars, or you're a secretary in an office, you're a greeter, you're a receptionist, you're a housewife, whatever you are. Look at what the Bible said. He said, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as what? To the Lord. And not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. Amen. Think about that. In whatever you do, man, if you're sweeping the floor, man, put a shine on it for Jesus. Amen. Man, if you're taking out the trash, take it out. The sins are gone forever. Amen. And you bring it back. And man, you bring that can back in here. Last Sunday morning, we had some cans that got skipped. And I was taking out one of the cans out there. And I took that thing out and dumped it in the dumpster. And I thought to myself, gone. My sins are gone. I don't know what happens to them after they go to the dumpster. Nobody knows. Man, they get buried and they're gone and nobody ever sees them again. And that's exactly what God did with my sin. Amen. He did the same thing with my sin. And whatever we do for God, we ought to do it as unto the Lord and for the Lord and to His glory in all that we do. Beyond the concern of anyone's self-esteem and anybody's personal success should lie the concern for one's personal responsibility toward God. No matter what we do. My wife this morning, she washed some shirts for me. And I forgot. I didn't get them out of the dryer last night. And they were still wrinkled and everything. And man, while I was in the shower and everything else, she went and she got it fixed up for me. And there's no wrinkles. And man, my pants were clean. My tie was there and everything. You know what? She did it as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. Why? Because she loved me. No, because she loved the Lord too. And she didn't want me to look bad. Okay? If I did it, I may not look so good. But you know what? She takes care of me. And you know what? Everything that we do, we need to do as unto the Lord. Why? Because we have a responsibility of a testimony for the Lord. Let's give God our very best. God is glorified by faithful, hardworking believers. He's glorified in that. And you know, don't work, don't do what you do for man's rewards. Listen, there are times it seems like I come home and you've been out visiting and you're trying to counsel people and you're trying to encourage them to live for God and everything else, and it seems like you get back late and everything's gone wrong and man, it's just been a long day. And you think, Lord, is it really worth it? And then I get to thinking, man, if these folks start serving God and they start living for the Lord and their marriage works out and their families turn out to love you, Lord, and man, it'll be worth it all. My wife fixed me up a little cross stitch when we first got married. I got it in my office. And it says, working for the Lord doesn't pay much, but the benefits are out of this world. And you know what? She's right. It's out of this world. You know what? Serving the Lord and knowing I've given Him my best. That's what I want to do. I want to stand before Him one day and hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That and being able to be in heaven with Him. Man, what a reward. What a reward. That beats anything else. But secondly and lastly, I want you to see that it's a matter of testimony before men. It's a matter of testimony before men. I told you earlier, it's a matter of stewardship unto God. But folks, hard work is a matter of testimony before men. Paul exhorted there in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Turn there with me if you will. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And look at verses 11 and 12. And ladies, this is not just talking to you. It's talking to everybody, okay? All right. And that you study to be quiet, okay? And to do your own business, okay? That's each of us today, all right? that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly before them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. We need a good testimony among the people that we work with today. Folks, listen, God has got you at that workplace. And sometimes I know you get frustrated working around people that are using God's name all the time in vain, and they don't care about their work. They come in late, they leave early, and expect everybody else to just, you know, bow down to them. But you know what? Listen, you have a testimony. I have a testimony today before those lost men. And they need to see something that's real in our lives. Why do we do what we do? We do it as unto the Lord. It's not to just get a raise or a bonus at Christmas or anything like that. No, listen, we do what we do as unto the Lord. I want you to remember that Solomon reminded his son in Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 1. I've got this verse marked in my Bible. Proverbs 22:1, and it says this: a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. And you know what? The Apostle Paul wanted these people to understand the same thing. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I'd rather have a good name for Christ than have a bad name for Christ any day of the week. I want my testimony to exalt His name. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. And this is what Paul wrote. He said, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any should not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." Oh, my. Now, I didn't say that. The Apostle Paul said that. If you don't get mad at him. And God inspired him to write that. But you know what? He saw the truth. And folks were walking around as busybodies. You know what? Folks who don't have anything to do are always the biggest critics of those that are doing something, are they not? And those folks that are not doing anything, well, they say, "Well, where are all those folks that you invited to go to church? Where are all those folks you said you led to Christ?" And I just look back at them now and I say, "Well, where are the ones that you went out and did?" "Well, I didn't do that." "Oh, I didn't mean to say that." Listen, folks, we need to be busy about our Father's business. God is the one that brings forth the increase, not us. We have a job to do, and that is to take the message to a lost and dying world. And it's Jesus that said He would build His church, and the gates of hell could not prevail against it. And you listen to me today. When we do what God says do, it's like Pastor always tells us. He says, if you'll go out and tell folks how to get to heaven, God will tell folks how to get to our church. And God blesses it. Amen. And Paul said here, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." You see what Paul was saying here? He said that if a man refused to work, then those who did work should not be obligated to feed him. Now, there are folks that are not able to work because of health and other problems. I understand that. But I'm talking about folks that are well able and just refuse to work. Are any of you old enough to remember Dobie Gillis? All right. And when Maynard G. Krebs, okay, he was one of those early day hippies, okay, didn't like that. And Dobie would talk to him and say, "I got to go out here and make some money. I got to go to work." And Maynard G. Krebs said, "Work, work, work." And it was like he was going to fall back and die or something, okay, because he said, "Work, work, work." That's the way our world thinks about work today. But folks, listen to me. Let's honor the opportunity we have to work as unto the Lord. Whatever we do for God, don't think that anything you do is too little for God to take notice of. God will bless it. God will honor it. And the Bible said here, listen, if a man if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have not company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Admonish him as a brother. Encourage those folks around you to do what's right. Listen, when my children didn't want to get up and work and help mow the yard or do things like that, it wasn't, you know, I just didn't let them just lay there and do that. We were trying to teach them some principles in life because we knew that one day they're going to get married, they're going to have children, they're going to have a job, they're going to have a supply, and that mom and dad's house wouldn't be big enough for all of them anymore. And you know what? We need to admonish our brothers and sisters in Christ. Encourage them, strengthen them in the Lord, and remind them, listen, let's do what we do for the Lord. Let's do it for the Lord. Let me ask you today, dear child of God, if you were paid according to your work ethic instead of by the position that you hold, would you deserve a pay increase or a pay decrease today? Let me ask you this. If you were getting paid today for serving the Lord, what would your reward be? When we stand before the Lord one day, is he going to look at us and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Or is he going to say, "Man, thou sluggard," and be ashamed? Listen, I want to serve the Lord now. We don't serve him to be saved. We serve him because we are saved. And we want to glorify him in all that we do. And we want to reach this lost and dying world before it's eternally too late. Folks need to hear the gospel. And I know I've heard folks say it. Oh, that's the preacher's job. That's Brother Ray's job. He's the soul winning director. Let him do it all. Brother Ray can't do it all. And you can't do it all. But each of us doing a little bit everywhere we go, we can reach the world with the message of the gospel. And you know what? God will bless that. Listen, payday is coming one day. And I want to ask you this. Are you going to stand before God as a spiritual giant or as a spiritual pauper? How will you stand when you stand before God? I want to stand before him and hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen? Amen. Thank you for being here today. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, I hope today that I've tried to be a help to your people with this lesson. Lord, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm not trying to cause anybody to be mad at me. I've got enough of that already. But Lord, I want to just ask you to help me, Lord, to be an encouragement and strength to your people. Lord, sometimes we get tempted because the world seems like it's just falling apart. Folks don't want to do anything for you. They don't want to do anything for themselves. And Lord, we just get discouraged with it sometimes. But Father, help us to remember that you're keeping track of things. And Lord, you know why we do what we do for you. And I pray, God, today that you would help us to determine our hearts that we're going to do for you what we do for you because we love you enough to do it. And Lord, we're thankful for your blessings upon our lives. I pray, dear God, that you'll not only bless us as we work in the work field, and in the workplace, or at home, or wherever we may be, but Lord, also out in the harvest field where folks need to hear the message of the gospel. Lord, that we'll not be lazy and think that somebody will reach them one day with a message. But Lord, we'll take the initiative to fill up our pockets and our pocketbooks and places that we keep gospel tracts. And Lord, we'll sow the seed of the Word of God so that we might reap a harvest one day and see folks come to know you as their Savior. Lord, please bless this day that we've tried to encourage people to come and be in the house of God. I pray, Lord, you'll bring honor and glory to your name in all that's done and said. And Father, we'll thank you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school class.